Amen. You know, tonight, you'll be glad to hear, I'm not going to try and preach a long sermon, as all I want to do is just to look briefly at these verses from the Word of God, and I pray that you would be challenged, even as I have been in my own heart. And I want to leave as much time as possible tonight for prayer, as we have much to pray for. The passage that we are reading of in the book of Luke takes place on the first day of the week. It's the time of Christ's resurrection and ascension up to glory. And this is the third day now after the Lord had been crucified upon the cross. We all know that as the Lord Jesus Christ on his time here on earth, that he told his disciples through the word of God and told them clearly that he would have to die upon the cross, that his blood would be shed, that he would have to die so that his people could be redeemed, and that on the third day he told them clearly that he would rise again, that he would be the sacrifice even for their sin. Now the third day, we're here, we're in the third day. And we read there in Luke 24 in the verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found a stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. That was Christ's words. That was what he was saying. You were told this, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. And there in verse 10, and it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, then Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So we see that even though his disciples were told all of these things, they did not believe that this had actually happened. They doubted that the Lord Jesus Christ, and they doubted the resurrection. You see, they felt that if Christ had risen from the grave, that he would have came probably and met with his disciples first, or that he would have met with maybe Peter or James first before he told anyone else. But all they had heard up to this point now was just hearsay. It had came from others. You know, it meant nothing to them. The stone was rolled away and the grave was empty. But we are told there in the verse 13 that two of Christ's followers, one called Cleopas and the other, we do not know his name, but these two men had left Jerusalem and were heading back to Galilee, probably through even Emmaus. This town Emmaus was about 2 hours' walk from Jerusalem. These men were heading back home again. There was nothing left for them in Jerusalem. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was gone. There would be no more great gatherings of people, no more great sermons from the Lord, no more great miracles of the blind being able to see, and the deaf hearing, and those that couldn't walk being able to walk, and the dead brought back to life. That was all over now, and they were probably going back to what they did even before they met the Lord. But you know, as they walked, these two men talked, and they talked about all that had happened up to this time. You know, when I believe that those two men rehearsed every single word that the Lord Jesus Christ had said in their presence over and over again, trying to make sense of what had happened, even Jerusalem, they wouldn't stop, they wouldn't give up, they kept talking about it and trying to understand what had happened, but it didn't get anywhere. We're told there in the verse 15 and 16, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. The Lord drew near. He was a stranger to them. They knew him not. We're told there in the verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? The Lord asks these two disciples, what is it that you're talking about? What is it that you're going over and over again? And also, why are ye so sad? Why are you so sad? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ asked these two disciples. And you know, that's my first even simple point tonight. These two disciples' hearts were sad. You know, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. You know, outwardly, tonight, as I look around this meeting, I cannot see into your hearts. I know exactly what's going through your minds. You're saying, I wish this fellow would hurry up and get finished and sit down, and we get down to prayer. But I can't tell what's in your heart. You all look the same. Yes, different, but none of us can. Sometimes, you know, it's so easy for someone to hide their deepest feelings in their heart. Yes, they can talk to them and they look fine. They talk away as normal. And yet none of us know, but that person's heart could be broken. That person's heart could be very, very heavy. Just as those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, they looked okay from an outsider's point of view. But the difference is that as the Lord drew near to them, he saw their hearts. He saw their hearts were heavy. And he saw their hearts were very, very sad. He knew without speaking one single word to them that they were burdened. He knew that their hearts were so burdened down and their hearts were broken at the loss of their Savior. And you know, friends, tonight, the Lord sees your heart and the Lord sees mine. He knows how our hearts are even this very night. We can hide our feelings from the person sitting in front of us, or from even our closest friends and even our very loved ones. But the Lord sees your heart and my heart tonight. We cannot hide anything even from our Lord. You know, tonight, whether you're here in this building or you're listening even online, if you're discouraged, if you're carrying a broken and a heavy, burdened heart, maybe tonight you think no one cares. Remember, God sees. God sees your need tonight. And you know, just as the Lord Jesus Christ that day drew near to those two disciples as they walked along that road very sad and very downcast, the Lord Jesus Christ will draw near to you, child of God, tonight if your heart is broken and your heart is sad. Read in Psalm 44 and the verse 21, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. He knoweth the secrets of the heart. Think of Elijah, that great prophet of the Lord, and how that after the victory over the prophets of Baal, he fled into the desert for his life for fear of Jezebel. We're told there that he wanted to die. His heart was broken. Yet outwardly he was a great prophet of God, and people would never have known even just how that great man of God felt. But his heart was broken. The Lord Jesus Christ drew near and lifted him up and encouraged his heart again. Child of God, do not despair tonight. The Lord knows all about you tonight, and your burdens, and your fears, and your cares. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ met those two disciples, you know, friends, let us look even back even at God's word. And as we see the many examples of how the Lord even encouraged his servants, even when I was thinking about Hagar, and how after being sent away by Sarah, out in the wilderness, she was hungry. She left her child down, even to die. Her heart was broken and sat afar off. And yet the Lord knew Hagar's heart. And the Lord knew, drew near to her and met with her and even encouraged her. Think of David many, many times being chased down by Saul. Many times so close, even as he thought to maybe death. His heart was heavy. His heart was sad. Yet the Lord came. And the Lord drew near, and the Lord even encouraged his heart. Even think of Joseph, and even how many times, even when he would have been sold as a slave, Maybe when he ended up even in prison for something that he didn't do. You know, I'm sure there was times his heart was heavy, and yet the Lord drew near and even encouraged him. You know, God knows tonight if our hearts are sad. But you know, we have to look a bit closer. You know, why were the hearts of these two believers sad? Why were they sad? What was wrong? What was the cause of even this sadness? Firstly, because of their unbelief. They did not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen again. You know, if they had believed what he said he would do, they would have had no reason to be sad. They would have no reason to have a heavy heart that day. You know, maybe tonight, is our hearts full of unbelief? You know, do we think sometimes that God cannot deliver us from this great problem that we are facing? Maybe you do not believe that God can help us through this trial or through this trouble, and we feel all alone. You know, we need to look even back again at God's word. We need to remember that the very God that spoke this world into existence, the very God that created us in the form that we are in, the same God can help us overcome sickness, even problems, difficulties. That same God is the God that we are praying to tonight and the God that we are reading about. We need to be careful that we do not fall into the sin even of unbelief. Remember back in 2 Kings 7 and how that Samaria was besieged by Ben-Hadad. There was nothing left in that city to eat. The people were in a terrible state of hunger. And then Elisha announced, the prophet of the Lord announced that from tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel. Then a Lord on whose hand the king laid, and he answered this man of God and said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And Elisha told him, with thine eyes thou shalt see it, but thou shalt not eat thereof. This man, because of his unbelief, died at that very gate, that very same spot where he came out with that big statement. That man died even for his unbelief in the prophet of God and what God had said would happen. We need to be careful even about the sin of unbelief. We need to be careful about any sin in our lives, because sin will make our hearts sad. Sin will hinder us from our fellowship with the Lord. We need, as God's people, to be on our guard even against sin in any form. And even a coldness. You know, a heart that's cold and dry and barren, deprived of the Lord, can also make us very, very sad. Remember, the Lord has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So you know what? It's not the Lord who has left us. Sometimes it's us who have left the Lord. And that's why our hearts can get cold and our hearts can get sad. So we see these two men's sad hearts, and we see even the reason for it. But you know, there's a cure for a sad heart tonight. There was a cure. Read in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened up the scriptures? The cure was the Lord Jesus Christ and his presence. His drawing near and going with them, that was the cure. These two men's hearts were changed there and then when the Lord drew near. And friends, so it is with us. Our sad, heavy, broken hearts can be changed even in an instant when the Lord draws near. By nothing else, only when the Lord draws near. When we have the Lord's presence, what did the Lord do? We are told there that in the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. He opened up the word of God. He told them of all that was prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, of all that had happened and of all that would happen even in the future. And you know, when as they listened to this word from the Lord, their hearts were changed. Their hearts were lifted. The sadness was gone. What an example even to you and I tonight. Where can we go but to the Lord? We need to get into God's word. We need to look back through the word of God and see that how time and time again the Lord has delivered his people, how he never failed them for those who rested upon his promises. Yes, there was those who, who came in unbelief and they fell backwards. But for those who rest upon the promises of God, God will deliver even us, his people. You know, reading 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, for the promises of God in him are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. And verse 18, and one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. You know, something else, these men talked with the Lord as the Lord told them all that had happened and why these things had happened and why they were so sad. These men talked with the Lord and, you know, their hearts were sad. We too must talk with the Lord. We need to come and bring all our cares and our fears and our worries even to the Lord. 1 Peter 5 and the verse 7 tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sometimes, you know, we're very quick to talk to others. When there's problems, there's difficulties, when there's burdens, we talk to this one and that one and the other one. But you know, where must we go to first? To the Lord. We must go to the Lord first and get alone in that place of prayer. And the Lord will minister to us and encourage us even through his precious word, just as he did even to these two men. We have the fact that their hearts were sad. We have the cure even for their sad hearts. Then we're told that their hearts burned within them in verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now their hearts burned. They were on fire for the Lord. They had met with the Lord. It wasn't that their sad hearts had been cured and that was it. They just made better. It wasn't that their hearts were now normal and that was as far as it went. It wasn't that the sadness had been just taken away. We are told by the two men, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? While he opened up the word of the living God, there was a complete turnaround. Something that only the presence of the Lord could do. You know, I ask this question to myself as much as I do to anyone else tonight. Does my heart burn within me as it should for the Lord? Does my heart burn within me when I read even the precious word of God? Does my heart burn within me even when I get down into the place of prayer? Friends, when we take time to look to the Lord the way these two men did and to talk with him, and when we stop and even consider afresh what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us upon the cross of Calvary, how that he took our place, how that we're redeemed tonight through the precious blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed there upon the cross, how that God the Father took his Son, the sinless Lamb of God, and laid all of our sins upon him. Even as we're gathered, even on Sunday past around the Lord's table, our hearts were lifted up. They burned afresh when we considered even afresh what the Lord has done. You know, even though we're so unworthy, yet he gave even his life for us. And not only that, dear friend, tonight, but consider even afresh how the Lord keeps us. Not only does he save us, but he keeps us even each and every day. He meets our every need. You know, for each of us tonight, it should be our prayer that our hearts would burn within us, even for the Lord. And just briefly to finish, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. The Lord had disappeared out of their sight in the verse 31. But now in verse 29, they constrained them, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. You know, at this time when the Lord was with the two disciples, it must have been well on in the evening, for they constrained them to come in and eat, because the day was far spent. When the Lord met these two men, you know, it was well on into the day, well on even into the evening. They were weary and tired. They were ready even to rest and then carry on their journey another day. But now the Lord had gone out of their presence. But you know, these two disciples, their hearts burned so much so that they immediately rose up that same hour and headed back to Jerusalem the way they came, to see the other disciples and to tell them of all that the Lord Jesus Christ had told them, and how that they'd met him and had saw him and how they'd talked with him. The tiredness was gone. They were not concerned that it was dark and that it was late, and that maybe it wouldn't be a safe time to travel along that road. Those men's hearts now burned so much in service, even for the Lord. They had to go back. They had to go back there and then. They had to go back. Maybe even the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, go back now and see the disciples. You know, so must we. You know, we need to have that burning heart full of service, even for our Lord. You know, let us not look even at the difficulties that we could face, just as those disciples could have thought about the darkness and the danger. Help us not to let things hinder us, even from going and burning out in the service for the Lord. You know, let us consider not that the day is far spent, and put off to another day even that work that the Lord has asked us to do. Maybe the Lord's put someone upon our heart, and we put it off to another day. Maybe the Lord's saying, no, I want you to speak to that person today. It might even be your last opportunity. You know, I believe if it meant walking all night, those two disciples would have done it. When a heart is on fire for the Lord, it's not a chore. It's not a chore even to work for the Lord. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to serve our Master. When we even consider here, even here in God's house, even as all the different works, God willing, are about to start again, and even how the gospel mission is even only a matter of weeks away, we need to have our hearts burning, even in service for our Master. You know, Psalm 139 and the verse 23, just let us make this even our prayer tonight. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Amen. I just want to thank our online listeners for joining with us, and we pray that the Lord will bless you even tonight. Thank you.